Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
It's so good to be with you all this morning. As Barry said, we live in Cranbrook, British Columbia, and this background that was up during worship, I'm like, it looks like home. Other than I'm sorry to say, we have no snow. We have had the strangest winter. We don't know half the time if we're living in Vancouver or living in Alberta. It seems to flip back and forth this year, so it's very unusual. Our grass is even turning green a month ahead of time. But I'm going to invite you this morning to turn to Matthew 21. Barry, that was just, thanks for that introduction. He makes it sound like I have no time for anything. And yet I do. Tuesday you will find me sitting by the river talking to Jesus with a tea latte in my hand and my journal and maybe even swaying in my hammock depending on the weather. So I'm grateful. I'm also the mom of four adult boys who are all in a relationship with a significant other. And my oldest son has three granddaughters, and we're expecting another grandchild in the fall from him. So, that's just kind of a sideline. So we spend a lot of time visiting our kids in Calgary and Vancouver, and some are with us in Cranbrook. I want to begin this morning by asking you, have you ever felt misunderstood? Anyone ever felt misunderstood? Yeah, I relate to that. I could think of a number of examples, but I chose this one as being the safe one, where, you know, somebody just doesn't describe you accurately, or they don't describe you completely, and they don't have the full picture. I know with social media, that's a huge thing I hear from people, right? Well, they only see one part of the picture, or I only show one part of the picture, whatever that might be. But by way of personal example, cooking. I do not like cooking. Is anyone else here with me on that? All right, thank you. With that, I've shared that with many people, just like I'm doing that in the room. And the assumption that's come out of that is actually that I don't know how to cook. So I've had to bring correction sometimes. Like, I can cook. My children have gotten fed through the years. They all survived. It's not enjoyable to me. And yes, I can always learn a few things, but this piece of being misunderstood resulted in many people offering me cooking lessons. Well, let me show you. And it's like, well, that's not really the issue here. You can show me all of those things. I just don't want to do it. I mean, I will, because we like food. I really like food, and I like to eat it, so we'll cook it. But it's been a challenging thing sometimes to be misunderstood in that way, and I feel like I'm gaining ground on that. Like, in our congregation, people know if there's a potluck, I won't be bringing anything cooked. I will bring you the veggie platter, I will bring you the fruit tray, I will bring you store-bought cookies, whatever like that, but not likely to have anything cooked. And I'm certain you probably have an example of this as well. Like, somebody might say to you, well, I didn't ask you to come to that because I thought, and you could fill in the blank there, or I didn't think you liked, and you can fill in the blank there. And so there's a friend of mine in Cranbrook. She goes to bed incredibly early. Like, we're talking like 7 or 8 p.m. Yeah. All right. So you understand then how people can misunderstand that. She gets teased. People have wrong opinions of why she does that. But I happen to know she gets up at 3 or 4 in the morning because she wants to spend a good block of time with Jesus. And then she is a bodybuilder. So then she wants to go to the gym and she wants to get her workout in. And then she heads to work for the rest of the day. And so she finds that a productive time of day for her. And we've jokingly said at some point we're going to lap each other because I'm a night owl and she's up at 3 in the morning. And sometimes we have. The messages are going at a weird time. But this is the tension I want to talk about today as we acknowledge this Palm Sunday. Jesus is praised. He is celebrated in Scripture. He is shouted over. And yet we see the question of the people, and we're going to read that as we go to Matthew 21. Because the city asks the question in this narrative, who is this? And there's four Gospels in Scripture. All of them have a Palm Sunday narrative. But as I was reading through each one, this one in particular caught my eye because of this question that's being asked. So we're going to begin in verse 1 this morning. And it reads like this from the New Living Translation. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut out branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And it was common in that day, just a departure from the scripture for a moment, to honor a new king or a ruler by placing the cloaks on the ground. It was a sign of submission there. Carrying on in verse 9, Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This question of who is this is where I want to stay this morning. So Matthew has a perspective in writing this gospel, and he is a Jewish Christian, and he's aiming to prove to Israel that Jesus is in fact the Messiah that they've been waiting for. And with this in mind, we saw even in this narrative that Matthew would often have scriptures in there that would say this was said to fulfill the prophecy. He was pointing them back, saying these were the Old Testament scriptures, and this is happening now. This is what you see before you. This is who you have been waiting for. Jesus is the fulfillment of centuries of hope. And yet when Jesus enters Jerusalem, the city responds with confusion. Who is this? They're unclear, and the response to the question reveals this. As they say, Jesus, he's the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus only partially understood. And this is the tension that we're looking at today, this tension of Palm Sunday. See, we can be close to Jesus, we can celebrate Jesus, we can talk about Jesus, and still not fully recognize who he is. And the same question that the crowds ask today, we might also ask, who is this? John the Baptist in Matthew 11 asks if Jesus is the one who is to come. And I love this response from Jesus. And in our congregation in Cranbrook, we're having the year, we're calling it the year of being set free. And so, Barry, I just loved your encouragement this morning from the scriptures. And we looked at this scripture just recently. And so John's saying, who is this? Is Jesus the one that was supposed to come? And Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. This is John the Baptist, the one asking and who Jesus is responding to. It's the one who, same guy who boldly declares in John chapter 1, this is the one. This is the one. Someone who is coming after me is far greater than I am, and he existed long before me. And Jesus enters the scene, and John the Baptist says, this is the one. Now in prison, in what we just read in Matthew, John needs reassurance. And Jesus provides it, not through the prophecies this time, but through the evidence of his ministry. The lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised. I love that. I love that. There is hope. There is hope for us. We have the opportunity to be set free. As we're exploring this in our own congregation, that word salvation, the Greek word is sozo, and it means salvation in every area of our lives. The fullness, wholeness, full restoration. You don't have to stay in those broken places anymore. full salvation. And that comes and partners today with, do we really understand who Jesus is? Later, Peter in Matthew 16 declares Jesus as Messiah, the one who would save them, Son of the living God. And Jesus confirms this by saying, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. John, like Peter, needed a revelation of who Jesus was. And today, can you agree with me that we need a revelation, a fuller understanding of who Jesus is, a level up, if you will. If you use video game technology, we want to, video game terminology, we want to level up our understanding of who Jesus is as revealed in the scriptures. And how often we forget when the concerns of this world crowd in. We forget that Jesus, you are the Messiah, you are the one who saves, you are king, you see everything that's happening and you have rulership over these things. You are the one who sets us free, you are ruler, you are present. How often we forget that he is even present with us. So what is our response when Jesus shows up in our life? Commentators say in this Palm Sunday narrative we just read from Matthew that there was likely 2,700,000 Jews present at the Passover based on a census of that time, which gave me a little credibility to it because I'm like, how would they know that? But they did censuses then, and so that was a bit of what they expected. And the noise would have been deafening. And in the meantime, as he's making this procession through the crowds, the people are crying out, who is this? And as I said before, I believe it's a question that we still ask today. And I think as we still ask it, it's worth us asking the why. And there's a few points I wonder. As I was preparing this and thinking, I'm like, why is it that we might ask that question? Why is it that we might not have a full understanding of who Jesus is? And the first is do we diminish who Jesus is? Only understanding partially. The crowd was not wrong when they said, this is Jesus, he is a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, but the view wasn't complete. It was only a part of who Jesus was. And they stopped short of calling him king, and they definitely stopped short in many cases of calling him Messiah. And I think we can do the same. We can speak of Jesus as helpful. We can speak of him as encouraging, but maybe we don't speak of him as Lord. We can acknowledge him in ways that make us comfortable, or maybe that are obvious to us, but only see part of the picture. Ed and I, my husband Ed and I, we're walking with somebody right now who would say that Jesus is not God. He is only God's son. He's miraculous, he's a great teacher, he's a prophet, but he's not God's son. And perhaps you've heard of similar perspectives from people. Jesus, you are this, but you are not fully that. And consider, if you will, the impact of that limited understanding. If Jesus is not God, he could not have taken on the weight of our sin. Our guilt would not be removed. He would have no authority to answer prayer. And so this morning, I pray for myself and pray for each one of us, God, give us a fuller understanding of who you are from the scriptures, that we wouldn't have a limited view, that we wouldn't in some way diminish who you are in our lives, that we would see you fully at work and not miss that. When we say, who is this, out of a partial understanding, there is impact. It doesn't change who God is, but it does change the place that we give room for him in our lives. And this individual I spoke of in our lives has not been able to make a decision to follow Jesus because of where they're at right now. And we continually pray for him, and we know that God's going to reach his heart at some point. The other question I wonder of is, are we unaware of Jesus' works? Do we sometimes say, who is who? When we consider Jesus, who is who? Does Jesus stand in our midst doing his work in our lives and we don't attribute those things to him? Maybe there are prayers answered, or there's forgiveness, or doors opening, or new strength we didn't have before, but we chalk it up to coincidence, or maybe even just ourselves. When I went through cancer almost 4 years ago now, one of the treatments I chose was to go on to a strict nutrition plan with supplements and food and all of those things. And there were many times I felt a check in my spirit of God saying, remember who is rescuing you. Remember who is rescuing you. It's not what you're doing. It's great that he led me to do that and I'm doing that, but remember, I am the one who rescues you. And how easy it would be to think it was all me. Right? I'm here today, I'm standing here doing this because of what I did. It's like, no, God, you made a promise and you did this. And so my heart for us this morning is that not only would we not diminish who Jesus is in our lives, but we'd walk in a greater awareness of his works and the things that he's doing in our lives. Sometimes it can be that intentional, it was all me, I did this, and sometimes we're just unaware. There's no malicious intent to it. There's no deliberate attempts to cut Jesus out of the picture. It's just maybe there's a lot going on around us and we forget to look for where he's at work. And I love that song, Waymaker. It's one I'm sure you're familiar with, where it says, even when we can't see it, he's working. Even when we can't feel it, he's working. May we be aware of everything that he is up to. And lastly, and this one's a little more sensitive, are we adverse to acknowledging who he is? And I don't think that's the case because you're all here this morning ready to acknowledge who he is on this Palm Sunday. But still, let's talk about it for just a moment. And it might sound like, who is this? Who is this prophet from Nazareth? Who is he to do what he does? Who is he to show up here in my life? Matthew's gospel tells us that religious leaders watched all of Jesus' ministry unfold. And instead of rejoicing, they resisted. They said things by what authority are you doing these things? Just after the triumphal entry, the same chapter, praise God, glory to God in the highest. And I don't know who was all involved in yelling that, whether the religious leaders were part of that crowd, whether they weren't. But just a few short verses later, two verses later, by what authority are you doing these things? Or in the Gospel of John, as the religious leaders are plotting to kill Jesus after he's raised Lazarus from the dead, they say it's better that one man die than for the whole nation to perish. Resistant. We don't want to acknowledge Jesus' part in any of this and who he is. And it wasn't that they didn't have the information, but it was because Jesus didn't meet their expectations. He didn't arrive the way they wanted. Jesus didn't act the way that they anticipated. And disappointment can harden into resistance. I want to say that again. Disappointment can harden into resistance. Any of us been disappointed, especially with an unanswered prayer, something we've been waiting on? And so for us too, it's something we need to guard against, because our disappointment can harden into resistance when the outcome isn't what we hoped for, or when Jesus doesn't show up in the way we expected, when healing doesn't come. I think of, we used to live in Surrey for about 15 years, and we attended a church called Sunshine Hills Church, and somebody's here this morning from that very church who holds my little granddaughter in the nursery every week. It's just amazing. Yeah, what a wonderful small world we live in. But there was a young boy there. His name is Cameron, and he had brain cancer, and we prayed, and we believed. And we prayed and we believed, and in 2020, he passed away. The parents' response, this is what I watched. They did not let their incredible disappointment with the outcome harden into resistance. They loved Jesus. They said, we know that God is good. We know he is still with us. We know he's with our younger son. We know where Cameron is. It broke our hearts. And at the same time, we rejoiced for Cameron to be free of sickness and pain. And what a wonderful thing to watch in these parents as they continue to press forward and say, we want to be well, we want to be healed, but we will still miss him every day of our lives. I want to go back now to Jesus' words to Peter, after Peter acknowledges Jesus as Messiah. You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Speaking of when Jesus says, Jesus, you are the Messiah. I understand who you are. And Jesus calls him blessed. And Jesus points out that that revelation did not come from any human being, but his Father in heaven revealed it to him. And understanding the full picture of who Jesus is comes from revelation, comes from opening our eyes to what we see in Scripture and understanding how he is at work in Scripture, and we have it here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he's revealed in Scripture, is the same God who we serve today. I think of that verse, the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised. That's still true today. It is still true today. And it can be easy for us to doubt that. It can be easy for us to look at the circumstances in our world and look at the natural things and say, but we don't see it. And I want to contend that it's still happening. And I want to contend for every place we don't see it still happening, we need to pray for it to happen. Our prayer this year as a church is, God, may we, your servants, boldly preach your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power, and may signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Jesus is still who he said he was and is. He is the Messiah. He is our Savior. And that's what we acknowledge and celebrate this Palm Sunday. Who is this? Jesus in all his fullness, able to meet us in every point of our life, able to be present in our every circumstance. I just want to remind you, I think we all know this, but I want to remind you regardless, when you leave here this morning, Jesus goes with you. He's with you in Costco. I happen to be there this morning. It's a 10:30 start time. I'm not used to that. I'm like, I got like an hour to kill. I should go to Costco. I'm going to go buy toilet paper. So I did. And I made it here on time. So that was good too. But church, may we see the evidence before us and experience a revelation of who Jesus is fresh and new in our lives. Maybe there's a place where you've been waiting for an outcome. Maybe there's a place you've been unaware of him at work. Maybe there's a place where you want to believe he is the God who does the miraculous, but that's been diminished because of disappointment and experiences and things. And I pray for us today that we would have a full understanding of everything about Jesus there is to know. His love. I'm sure that some of us in this room need a fuller understanding of his love for us. I grew up in a difficult environment, and I was taught to love Jesus, but I didn't think he loved me back. I knew it, I heard it, but I didn't have an understanding. And I remember as a teenager sometimes just crying out my room, God, could you just be here in this room with me, and could you just love me so I can feel it? And he was there, I just didn't see it. And what this wonderful thing is, I went through my years in ministry, I still didn't understand it. What a thing to minister the love of God to others and still not fully understand it for yourself. But something shifted, and I can only call it the revelation from God that we're talking about here today, where all those years of hearing, we love you, Jesus loves you, all those years, something sunk deep into my spirit. And I would say about 10 to 12 years ago, I was convinced. And I'm still convinced. When I sit down now at the feet of Jesus, I'm not wondering if he's present. I'm not wondering if he loves me and approves of me. I know he does. And so when he brings that gentle correction, which he sometimes does, Carolyn, you're out of alignment here. Carolyn, you didn't need to say that. That one's a lot. Maybe you can identify that with that. But I'm convinced of his love for me. And today, church, I want you to have a fuller understanding of who Jesus is, the fullness of his love, the fullness of his mercy and his forgiveness for you, the fullness of his healing power for you, the fullness of his miracle working, I'm going to set you free from every area of brokenness in your life, and you don't need to be stuck any longer. May we acknowledge him for everything he says he is, even the hurts, the disappointments, the places where we're still waiting. And with that revelation, may each of us boldly declare who Jesus is. When somebody says to us, who is this? This is Jesus the Messiah, my Savior, my healer, my soon and coming King, my baptizer in the Holy Spirit. We just went four square there. Just like that. And what will we do as the church? In the Palm Sunday narrative from Luke 19, Jesus says to the Pharisees that if the people had not lifted their voices in praise, even the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Let us be the church at large who lifts our voices in praise, declaring who Jesus is, that we might say as John did, this is the one. This is the one. Who is this? This is the one who forgives me. This is the one who loves me. This is the one who cares for me. So we invite Jesus today to speak to our hearts a new understanding and revelation of who he is based on what we see in Scripture. And as we close, I want to invite you, church, can we pray and ask Jesus to do exactly that today? And I find I can tell you these things, and you might remember it when you walk out the door. You might not. In fact, to be honest, sometimes I forget when I walk out the door what I preached on. On occasion. Maybe that's just middle-age-ness. I don't know. But what a powerful thing if the Holy Spirit speaks to you instead. And so I'm going to invite you today to ask a question that I think we're going to put on the screen. Just trying to remember if I did a slide for it. Yeah, perfect. And I want you we're going to have just a moment of quiet. We might hear some noise about the room, and that's fine. Holy Spirit can still speak. But ask Jesus, is there anything I only partially understand about who you are? And then ask him, what do you want me to understand today? Is there anything I only partially understand about who you are? What do you want me to understand today? And just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. You might hear it as just this whisper or this voice in your heart. And so we're going to take a moment. You can bow your heads if that helps you with distraction. If you need to see the question on the screen, you can leave your eyes open. But let's just take a moment and ask the Lord that.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.